Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narcheries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Assad or We Burn the Country, How One Family's Lust for Power Destroyed Syria by Sam Dagger is a reported account of how the Assad dynasty consolidated rule and how that grip on power shaped Syrians' lives and the state's institutions. Dagger, a longtime journalist who covered Syria and the region, frames the story through the internal logic of the ruling family and its security apparatus, tracing how patronage, fear, and loyalty networks became the regime's core tools. The book links private family dynamics to public policy choices, showing how decisions made inside the palace and intelligence branches reverberated across cities, sects, and borders. Set against the backdrop of the 2011 uprising and the catastrophic war that followed, it explains why peaceful protests met overwhelming force and why the state accepted national ruin rather than political compromise. The narrative is designed to help readers understand the mechanisms of authoritarian durability and the human cost of a system built to survive at any price. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Assad system as a family enterprise. A central theme is that Syria under the Assads functioned less like a conventional republic and more like a family enterprise that fused blood ties with the architecture of the state. The book emphasizes how authority concentrated within a narrow circle where kinship, marriage alliances, and trusted loyalists determined access to power and protection. Instead of transparent institutions, the regime relied on overlapping security agencies and informal channels that answered upward to the presidential household. This arrangement created resilience, because rivals could be balanced against one another, while ultimate arbitration remained in the hands of the family. Dagger also highlights how this model shapes succession, internal competition, and the cultivation of a public image designed to signal inevitability. The result was a political order where loyalty was rewarded materially and betrayal was punished quickly, often through coercion rather than law. By treating the state as something to be inherited and defended, the ruling circle blurred the line between personal survival and national interest. That fusion helps explain why concessions were viewed as existential threats and why preserving the family's position could justify decisions that damaged the country's cohesion and future. Secondly, security services, surveillance, and the management of fear. The book portrays the security services as the regime's backbone, built to detect dissent early, fragment opposition, and deter collective action. Dagger describes a landscape where multiple intelligence branches competed and collaborated, creating redundancy that reduced the chance of a single defection toppling the system. Everyday governance was shaped by informants, checkpoints, interrogations, and the knowledge that punishment could be arbitrary. This produced a political culture in which citizens learned to self-censor and to read subtle signals from the state. The security apparatus also served as a gatekeeper for economic opportunity and social mobility, reinforcing the idea that protection and advancement depended on proximity to power. When protests began in 2011, these tools were redirected from containment to escalation, with the objective of breaking momentum and signaling that the regime would not negotiate under pressure. The book connects this strategy to the message implied by the title: the leadership would accept widespread destruction rather than risk losing control. Understanding this security logic is crucial to understanding why violence expanded so quickly, how fear was weaponized, and why institutional reform was so difficult once the system had been designed primarily for regime survival. Thirdly, from uprising to war, the choice to escalate. Dagger examines how the early uprising, which began with localized grievances and calls for dignity, confronted a leadership that interpreted public protest as a direct challenge to the regime's legitimacy. The book outlines how responses that might have reduced tensions were rejected in favor of force, mass arrests, and narratives that framed dissent as conspiracy. This approach helped harden positions on both sides, narrowing space for compromise and accelerating militarization. As violence spread, the regime leveraged sectarian anxieties and the fear of chaos, encouraging communities to view survival as tied to the state's continuity. The book also explores how the conflict became internationalized, with outside powers and regional actors influencing the battlefield and the diplomatic environment, often deepening Syrians' fragmentation. In this context, escalation became self-reinforcing. Repression produced anger, which produced more protest and armed resistance, which then justified harsher tactics. Dagger shows how strategic choices made by leaders can convert a political crisis into a national catastrophe when the priority is deterrence rather than governance. The narrative helps readers trace causality, not just events, making clear how specific decisions contributed to a downward spiral that proved difficult to reverse. Fourthly, corruption, patronage, and the political economy of loyalty. Another major topic is how corruption and patronage were not side effects, but governing methods that tied elites, businessmen, and local power brokers to the regime. Dagger describes a system where access to licenses, contracts, and protection depended on relationships with the ruling circle and security intermediaries. and Nate, this created winners who benefited from stability under authoritarian rule, and who therefore had incentives to fund or defend it. At the same time, it hollowed out state capacity because institutions served private extraction rather than public service. When conflict erupted, these networks adapted to war, profiting from scarcity, sanctions evasion, and the control of crossings and neighborhoods. The book suggests that such wartime economies can prolong conflict by making violence lucrative and by creating new stakeholders in disorder. Patronage also worked socially, distributing favors and fear in ways that encouraged communities to align with power holders for survival. This lens clarifies why reform promises often lacked credibility. Dismantling corruption would have meant dismantling the very mechanisms that kept key supporters invested. By linking money, coercion, and loyalty, Dagger provides a framework for understanding how authoritarian systems persist and how they can transform during war without losing their core logic. Narratives, propaganda, and the struggle over truth. The book underscores that the fight for Syria was also a fight over narratives, where controlling information became essential to controlling territory and morale. Dagger shows how the regime cultivated messaging that portrayed itself as the defender of the state, minorities, and secular order, while labeling opponents as terrorists or foreign agents. Such framing sought to reduce sympathy for protests and to reassure wavering constituencies that the alternative to Assad rule was chaos. Propaganda was reinforced through state media, coerced public rituals of loyalty, and selective visibility of violence. At the same time, the opposition and international media ecosystems developed their own narratives, sometimes fragmented by ideology and external sponsorship, which complicated coherent messaging and diplomacy. The book highlights how misinformation, fear-based rumors, and competing claims about atrocities affected civilian choices, international responses, and the prospects for negotiation. This topic matters because wars are sustained not only by weapons but also by beliefs about legitimacy and inevitability. By examining how narratives were manufactured and circulated, Dagger helps readers understand why certain policies gained acceptance, why outside actors made particular bets, and how the distortion of truth can become a strategic asset that outlives the battlefield. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a grounded explanation of how Syrian's tragedy emerged from the inner workings of an entrenched ruling system, including students of Middle East politics, journalists, policy professionals, and general readers trying to make sense of the war beyond headlines. It can benefit a reader's life by sharpening the ability to recognize how authoritarian governance operates through institutions that look official but function through fear, patronage, and personal loyalty. Those insights translate to a broader understanding of how power protects itself, how propaganda shapes public choices, and why some crises escalate when leaders treat compromise as defeat. Compared with many Syria books that focus primarily on battlefield chronology or foreign intervention, Dagger foregrounds the regime's family-centered logic and the security state machinery that condition nearly every subsequent event. That emphasis makes the narrative especially useful for anyone seeking causation rather than a catalog of horrors. It is worth buying because it connects personal rule, political economy, and information control into a coherent picture, helping readers see how a country can be driven toward ruin when survival of a narrow circle becomes the highest national priority. If you would like to support Sam Dagger, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.